On March 18, 1990, two men with fake police uniforms got into the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum and stole $500 million worth of art. 26 years later, the crime remains unsolved and the art is still missing. I'm Jen Martinelli, and this is Strangeful Things.
Ready. Go.
What are these?
Strangeful Things.
All right, so first, I already have a correction because it's 27 years later.
Oh.
Oops. All right, Acadia has something special he needs to tell us.
Yep, I have special information.
Okay. Lay it on us, man.
Are we echoing?
Yes.
Maybe a little, but I can fix it. Don't worry about it.
Okay. I want to send a very special thank you to Strangeful Things listener Mary, who is not only a fan of the show, but actually sent me a link to something that she felt we would like. And I want to share it with you real quick because it is the kind of thing we like.
Sweet.
Cool.
Thanks, Mary.
Linwood, Washington. A woman set up a date at a Linwood, Washington hotel Sunday.
I know about this one. Go ahead.
With the intent of killing a man she met online and eating his hot, police
said. Oh.
The suspect later told Linwood detectives that the gruesome plan was just one step in her bid to become a serial killer. Police arrested the suspect, a 24-year-old Edmonds woman, on suspicion of first-degree attempted murder after she allegedly stabbed the 29-year-old victim in the chest, puncturing his lung.
Do you want to know what's funny? This is why I know about it. Because that ghetto social network, Google Plus, somebody posted that story, and I forget which of my special fans there it was who tagged me and said something like, is this Jen Martinelli, or this is what happens when you tell Jen Martinelli no, or something like that.
Right.
The joke was that I was the serial killer.
Oh.
And then a hilarious conversation ensued where I said that I would be a better serial killer than that. I wouldn't announce it first, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it was pretty funny. That
Well, little did they know that it was me, and here I am.
So that's thank you, Mary, for you get us. And
you do get us.
Mary, that's really a cool story. You know what's so interesting about that is, well, it was a woman planning on being a serial killer, which first off is rare.
Right.
For
they only
women
get paid 78 cents for every dollar a male serial killer gets paid.
That's true. I mean, not only are we being oppressed, you know, just in regular jobs, but also in serial killer jobs.
That's
I mean, we can't even get hired. You know, it's ridiculous. You know,
it
I mean,
back in the day, you could support a family on killing.
That's right. Now, this is why
thanks,
we march.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Mary Ramirez. Thanks. no, but seriously, that's pretty interesting. That it's a female and the age, 24 years old, and she was using some sort of
it was like a pocket knife
social
or something.
Media.
Oh yeah. It was like a Craigslist thing or something, right?
Yeah, or like Tinder or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so all of those factors, it's like we're in a whole new generation of serial killers.
It's so 2017.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. Right. Very much so. So that's very interesting.
But our
story tonight starts with obviously a story that's close to J-Mart being a Boston story.
Right.
And we visited there. So that we were going to talk about that first was our personal visit and then get into more of the details, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
So we went. So first of all, I am going to just go ahead and admit that for some reason I have lived in this city for over 18 years and I had never been to this museum until BNEF came to town. And then I
I didn't know that. I didn't know that you hadn't been there yet.
I knew about it. I had seen, like, I knew there was this courtyard inside. I had heard all about it. You know, most of my friends have been there many times. I don't really know why. I've been to the MFA, the Museum of Fine Arts, a million times. For some reason.
It seems like, why would you go? If somebody stole all the art, then it's probably a pretty shitty museum and you're just basically going to an empty building.
No.
So it was my first time going, which was cool. And obviously it was BNEF's first time going.
Right. Yeah, obviously. Well, not only was it my first time going to this museum, but it was my first time to Boston. I said right off the bat that I wanted to make this like the total like tourist thing. Like I wanted to have like I wanted to go to like the first place that they ever made like lobster rolls or what, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like I wanted to
Boston it right up.
Yeah, exactly. So we went to a lot of amazing places, but I was originally a history major, so anything of any historical value, I'm always on board for.
Right.
Obviously, our interests lie in mystery, so this was interesting. But not only that, but this was more, I will say, for anybody who likes to go to museums, this was more than just a museum, because someone actually lived in this place.
Right.
It was straight out of a movie.
Yeah.
As far as this house was concerned. You know, it reminded me of like the Boston version of what was the movie with Rosebud? You know, Rosebud, the famous movie.
Citizen Kane,
yeah. It was like his house, but the Boston version.
And everything was is still in the house the way it was when she lived there. Like, it's not like they took all her stuff and they rearranged it and put it however they wanted. Like, it's how she had it in the house. So it's like, which that's part of the terms of the grant or whatever. So
she was basically spent her whole life collecting and making her house a work of art.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like a normal house where you go, I'm going to go head down to the Target and get a side table or whatever. I mean,
if you did the same thing, but you were poor, you'd just be called a hoarder.
Exactly.
If you're rich, then you're an art collector.
Right. Well, I mean, there was no possible way, I think, to hoard in the size of this house.
Right. Right.
I mean, she literally had to spend her whole life filling this house because it was so big.
Right, right.
I mean, you really cannot fathom the size of this place until you get into it.
Right. And then there's just art everywhere.
Yeah. So, but anyways, yeah. So we had a great time. The place is amazing. We definitely recommend it.
Yeah.
And now we're going to get into the meat and bones of the story here.
Yes.
So about the whose house this was and all the other stuff, right?
Right.
Are you ready?
We're ready.
All right, let's do this. All right. So Isabella Stewart Gardner was one of the foremost female patrons of the arts. She was a patron and friend of leading artists and writers of her time, including John Singer Sargent, James McNeil Whistler, and Henry James. Over three decades, Isabella Stewart Gardner traveled the world and worked with important art patrons and advisors, Bernard Berenson and Okakura Kokuzu. I'm just making up the way that's pronounced. That's so fine. Whatever. So anyways, she did this to amass a remarkable collection of master and decorative arts. The local press was both fascinated and scandalized by her. Isabella Gardner did not conform to the traditional restraining code of conduct expected of Boston matrons in the Victorian era. You go, girl.
That's right.
But lived an engaging, exuberant life, including much travel, entertaining, and adventure, which was quite obviously displayed by the inner workings of her home.
Right.
She also had a sense of humor, however. commenting on the numerous rumors and speculations about her escapades, many untrue. She is quoted as saying, "Don't spoil a good story by telling the truth." In 1919, Isabella Stewart Gardner suffered the first of a series of strokes and died 5 years later, on July 17, 1924. Her will created an endowment of $1 million and outlined stipulations for the support of the museum, including that the permanent collection not be significantly altered. In keeping with her, her
philanthropic
nature,
it's late, guys.
Her will also left sizable bequests to the Massachusetts Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children, Industrial School for Crippled and Deformed Children, Animal Rescue League, and Massachusetts Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals.
By the way, I got both of my cats from the Animal Rescue League. It still exists.
Oh, did you really?
Yep.
Well, that's good. And so this was the same place that she donated money to.
Right.
Oh.
Yes. Yep, it's been around a really long time.
Very nice.
So, the museum, like we said, was awesome. There's an amazing courtyard right in the center, which is very much modeled after, like, Italian homes. Mm. So this was her home, but she built it chiefly to fill it with art. Like, it's not where she was living, and then one day she just decided, I'll get some art. She was like, you know what? I'm going to collect art, and I'm going to build a building to put the art in, and I'm going to live in the building. So she built it after this travel that she did around Europe with her husband. And they especially spend a lot of time in Italy, which is why the courtyard in the middle is very much like a lot of Italian homes had a courtyard on the inside, because back in oldie times, the outside was disgusting, you know, like ancient Rome and stuff. It was like nobody wanted to be hanging out on the sidewalk because people were like, it was gross and bad. So you'd have these nice courtyards in the middle of your house. And so that's like a traditional Italian thing. So she has this beautiful courtyard in the middle with all this greenery and these beautiful plantings. And like the building itself is amazing. And it's just like everywhere you look, right? Beanav, we were just like,
right. I wanted to touch everything.
Beanav was like, you'd turn your head like 3 inches and you're like, look at this amazing thing. And then you like turn 3 inches the other way and you're like, look at this amazing thing. Like everything was amazing. Every detail was incredible. It was so cool. I took like 400 pictures.
Well, that was a big point of it too, is it wasn't just things that were hanging on the wall.
Right. It was the building itself. It was the railing. It was like the doorknobs, right?
Yeah. Remember how obsessed I was with every door?
Yeah. Every door was like
wood doors that were so intricate. And you know that they had been brought in. It wasn't that like Joe down the street like put this door together.
Right.
You know, exactly. There were things that were like ancient.
Right.
From like China.
Fuck you, Joe down the street.
Yeah, sorry, well, Joe.
Sorry, Joe. I mean, Joe probably did like a lot of work there, but you know,
he didn't make the doors.
He did not make those doors. I mean, they had obviously. I mean, we were freaking out trying to figure out how they even like brought some of these pieces in.
Right, because it was like, I mean, she died in like, what was it, 1924? Yeah. I mean, it was not modern times, and they had to get these things here from like Europe and all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just make a fart noise?
The Titanic.
Well, if they put it on the Titanic, I don't think it would be in the museum, Buckaroo. Remember?
But it does make you wonder if she lost anything on the Titanic.
No, it's true.
That could be a side story.
That's another story. It's another story. But so the art that was stolen, they left the empty frames in place. And so we saw them. So we right when we started looking around, we're like, ooh, we're going to have to pay attention because we're going to see the empty frames. And then the first time we saw one, we got all excited. We were like, oh, look, there's one. It was like really cool, right? We were super nerds about it. But it's just very cool.
Yeah. And it was, you know, they were quite open about, you know, why the frames were empty. We were kind of, you know, overhearing the guides talk to other people about it and stuff like that. And people didn't know the story. And we did.
Right.
it wasn't like the story was published somewhere for you to read, you know, right. in the place, but right. They were very open about why the frames were empty.
Right,
and
right.
Such. So that was, I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well.
Around midnight on Sunday morning, March 18th, 1990, a red Dodge Daytona pulled up near the side entrance of the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum along Palace Road. Two men with fake police uniforms waited for at least an hour in the car, possibly trying to avoid being noticed by people leaving a St. Patrick's Day party nearby. Later, at around 1 a.m., security guard Richard Abath returned to the front desk after patrolling the museum to switch positions with the other security guard. The two guards were the only people in the building. At 1:24 a.m., one of the two men outside pushed the buzzer near the door and told Abath they were policemen that had heard of a disturbance in the courtyard and requested to be let inside. Once inside, the two men revealed that this was a robbery and tied up both guards and put them in the basement. They were handcuffed to pipes and duct tape was wrapped around their hands, feet, and heads. They then proceeded to spend over an hour going through the museum, stealing important works. They stole 13 items, which is the exact number of items you need to make a witch. items. What? They were.
Yeah, 13.
Three by Rembrandt, a self-portrait, The Storm on the Sea of Galilee, and A Lady and Gentleman in Black. Landscape with an Obelisk by Govert Flink. The Concert by Vermeer. Chez Tortoni by Manet. Five paintings by Degas. La Sorte de Passage. Cortège aux Environs de Florence. Program for an Artistic Soiree 1. Program for an Artistic Soiree 2, which is good because if you hadn't seen 1, 2 made no right. sense. And three mounted jockeys, which does not seem to go, but an ancient Chinese gu, which is a vase that I guess holds your goo, and a bronze eagle finial from the top of a Napoleonic flag. They tried to remove the entire flag, but were unable to, so they just took the finial at the top of the flagpole. Seems like if that was the only, like, I would have stolen the bottom of the flagpole.
Well, the flag, they couldn't get the pole. The pole was, like, attached to the wall, and they couldn't get the pole off, so they just took the top, I guess. It seems right. a little weird, but...
I think I remember seeing the flag. It's now... it was behind glass, wasn't it?
I don't remember. It could be.
Yeah, I think so.
Now,
wait, it's not free swim yet. It's not free swim yet.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, let me just do the next paragraph, then you can talk. Interestingly, although very important works were stolen, the total value of the works is estimated at $500 million, more valuable and notable works were left behind. It doesn't seem that the thieves really knew what they were doing. They also were very rough with the art. They threw the framed works on the floor, smashed the glass, and cut them out of the frames with box cutters. They were not careful art thieves. They were described by FBI Special Agent Jeff Kelly as typical burglars. Okay, Acadia, what were you going to say?
I think that it was a shopping list, and I think that for whatever reason... those were the ones that whoever hired these two dinguses, those were the ones they wanted.
Of course. I totally agree.
And
yeah. I kind of thought that too, but as we read more of this, you might not still agree because I learned some facts. But that's okay. You could be right.
I mean, I know that
obviously the case is unsolved, so we don't know.
Right.
Well, we're going to solve it. What the fuck do we have a show for if we don't solve it?
So clearly, we'll know soon enough.
I remember seeing this on 60 Minutes, actually.
Yeah, I think it's been it's been talked about a lot.
This was way like when it happened. Fairly,
yeah.
You know, it was new when it happened. But
right.
I know that they and I think you go on to say like pretty soon that right. they were like rough with the shit and they like threw it around and whatever.
Right. I just said that.
Yeah, I think I think that they. I still think that even though they, that to me
the
makes
the point
it
is these guys like were not like more art people.
Yeah, but to me, that makes it seem like they knew more about it than they would have, because like what? Some of that canvas stuff, I mean, and I a lot of it that's really old, because you just touch it, it's going to fall apart.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This is like 17th century art.
Canvas is canvas. I mean, it's
No, Acadia, you're confused. Yep.
No.
Okay,
well, I know what canvas is.
Wait. Just for the background here, I was an art major, and I worked at the art museum, mm-hmm. and I learned about archiving and stuff. So it's not true that you can be rough with canvas and it's just fine forever. Some of these were 17th century paintings. Right. You can't necessarily beat it up.
Folded it up.
Well, here's my theory. Okay. Let's look at the time period that the pieces were stolen. 1990. Right. Let's look at where they were stolen from. Boston. Right.
Yep.
So what do you think? Who do you think you have to go to?
Backstreet Boys. The Backstreet Boys.
No.
Whitey Bulger. They're not
the Backstreet. Yes. Okay. So let's talk about the mafia. If you want to steal something in Boston in 1990, who do you got to go to? You got to go to the mafia, whether right. it be the Irish mafia, the Italian mafia, whatever.
Organized crime, yeah.
Whoever. You have to get. You have to get the okay from that.
Right.
Then you probably have to recruit through
some buffoons to do your dirty work.
Exactly. So we are talking about typical burglars. We are talking about typical burglars. But we
wouldn't know where the fuck that place was.
Excuse me. Acadia. I'm not done.
Jesus.
So we're talking about someone had a list, then they had to go to someone
to take care of it
from the streets to do it for them. That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it.
All right, I like your theory so far.
Mm-hmm.
Acadia, do you have something else you need to say before I continue? You seem very.
Let's go on.
Oh, I love how it sounds like he's just sitting in the corner with his head in his hands.
I know. So disappointed. He's so upset that
I literally have my head in my hands. Oh, we're never going to solve any cases with you. Go on.
I like turtles.
Okay. So what happened to the works after they were taken? It may seem like the thieves, or rather the person or people they worked for, were art collectors who wanted them for a private collection. However, that's not what the investigators for the case believe.
The people that took these paintings don't have them hidden in some private art gallery sitting back and just reveling in their beauty. These paintings are most likely up in an attic somewhere or in a basement not being viewed by anyone, says FBI Special Agent Jeff Kelly, the current agent in charge of the case. Investigators have long believed that organized crime was behind it, thinking they could get ransom money for the art pieces or trade them for reduced prison sentences. But nothing has surfaced. The closest call happened in 1997 when the Boston Herald announced that a reporter had seen the missing Rembrandt seascape. So,
all right, go on.
Colin Mashberg, an investigative reporter for the Boston Herald, was taken in the middle of the night to a warehouse in Brooklyn by William Youngsworth, an antique dealer with a criminal history, who pulled a painting out of a tube to show it to the reporter. It was pulled out and sort of unfurled, and I was not allowed to touch it or really get close to it, but I was allowed to look at it under the beam of a flashlight. What I looked at appeared to be an aged painting with a lot of earmarks of an authentic 17th century work of art, says Mashberg. Youngsworth told the reporter that he turned over this and other art to the authorities in exchange for immunity. However, the current security director of the museum said it would not be possible for the Rembrandt to be rolled up as described. It has been relined with fabric too many times over the years. It'd be like trying to roll up cardboard.
All right. Acadia, do you have some things to add?
Okay, number one.
After all your dramatic sighs, and then immediately what they said was the FBI thinks it's organized crime.
Right.
Right. The people that haven't solved the case. Who gives a fuck what they think?
Oh, my God.
This is amazing.
Like, seriously.
Make sure you put that at the beginning.
Obviously, yes. Wait, I'm gonna write it down. Time.
Yeah,
these You're fucking right. things must be hidden in somebody's basement. Otherwise, we would have found them already. No, like it's in the scenario where dumb mobsters are going to rob a museum so that they can somehow barter for their freedom with pieces of famous art.
Yeah, I didn't buy that either. It's not in anybody's basement.
It's not. You'd think that they would have pulled the trigger on that, you know, sometime in the last fucking 30 years or whenever, however long it's been. Like, it does. It makes no... If you were just going to go, oh, let's get some... We don't know anything about art, so let's steal right some from art, the get, and we just can... grab some random shit, but not stuff that's right by the door so that we get out quick. Let's right. like fucking make it like the fucking little kid in Family Circus and run all around the museum taking a bunch of shit.
That's that, true. It was like, all over the place.
Yeah. So
it, well, some of it, there were like three pieces in one room, but then the rest was kind of scattered all over.
Yeah. So it's like, I get that could be, well, what if they stole it to try and use it as a bargaining chip? Then you could steal literally anything and use it as a bargaining chip, mm-hmm. as long as it was worth more money than you. Like, so like, and if you're going to do something like that, then you're going to actually use it. And the other thing that doesn't make any sense with it is that the only fucking time, to me, the only time that would ever work is if you're bargaining with, I killed this person, and if you don't give me the death penalty, I'll tell you where their body is.
Right.
That's the only, like, and I know that, like, murderers, like, pull that shit all the time and everything like that, and it's hard. It's got to be fucking agonizing for the families. But I don't think anybody's going to go, yeah, let me out of jail or I won't tell you where your painting is. Because I think the cops would be like, well, now you just told us you stole the painting, you fucking dummy. So now you're under arrest for stealing the painting, and you'll never get out unless you tell us where it is.
Well, right. the museum still to this day offering a $5 million reward for information or return of the art.
Well, now that I know that it's worth $500 million, their reward's kind of shitty.
Well, right, but who are you going to sell it to that you're not going to get caught? That's the thing. Like, what
thing.
Are you,
it's sitting, how is it? I believe it is sitting in some fucking Saudi prince's fucking house.
I agree. Oh,
okay. And like, because what else would you do with it?
I agree.
Don't know. Well, you we're still learning.
You have to have a buyer before you steal something of that nature.
Although, to be fair, if the place was that easy to fucking rob, maybe you would.
Like, you just knock on the door and you're like, let me in, I'm a cop. And the guy's like, cool.
But maybe one of the guys was like, yeah. Hey, Sully, I went to this fucking place with my sister because she wanted to fucking show off to show how cultured she was, right? So there's all this fancy shit everywhere, and there's only two gods.
Right. Like, that Sully. I did you see the guy's name was Sully?
Oh, my God.
They were wearing nylon sweatsuits.
I love it.
Of course they were.
So they were like...
No, they were wearing Bruins jerseys. They were wearing Bruins jerseys. Place. You're confused. They were wearing Bruins jerseys or Pats jerseys or Red Sox jerseys. That's what they were wearing. Okay.
Oh, they're from Dorchester. Oh.
Okay, are you going to explain to my city to me right now? Oh, I'm going to fucking kill you. Okay. Young Worth turned over paint chips. So Young Worth, remember, is the antiques dealer with the criminal history. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. Turned over paint chips to prove authenticity to Mashburn.
I thought they didn't let him touch it.
No, he didn't let him touch it. He gave him, he was like, hey, here's some paint chips. He wasn't like, here, scrape some off this painting.
He's probably eating them. Go on.
Jesus. And Mashburn didn't really think they were real at first because they didn't look like much of anything to him. However, they were analyzed, and while they weren't from the Rembrandt that he was supposedly shown, they may have come from the missing Vermeer. In fact, they were the same color, red lake, as the blanket in the stolen Vermeer missing from the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. The painting that's missing is called The Concert. However, the analysis took time, and by the time it was completed, Young Worth stopped cooperating with authorities. When FBI agent Jeff Kelly took over the investigation in 2002, he tried to pressure Young Worth to give more information, but he was uncooperative.
Says Kelly, I can't tell you what he does or doesn't know. I can just tell you that the paint chips appear to be from the Vermeer, and despite offers of immunity and the reward money, the paintings have not been recovered.
Youngworth, is now 57 years old and still selling antiques in Massachusetts and has refused to speak to reporters about his role in the case. The FBI is fairly certain that in the years since the theft, the art was transported to Connecticut and to the Philly area. I'm just going to draw a little circle around that.
You're drawing a circle around it? Okay.
Yeah. In March 2013, investigators revealed that while they believe the original thieves are dead, poor Sully, they also believe that a man named Robert Gentile either knows where some of the art is or could point them in the right direction. He was reportedly a member of the Philadelphia La Cosa Nostra.
Oh.
He was 79 years old and ailing when investigators revealed this information. He was heard on wiretapped phone calls discussing the art, and authorities had recovered a list of the missing pieces and their market values from his home in 2012. The FBI apparently began focusing on Gentile, or maybe it's Gentile.
No, it's Gentile.
In 2009, okay, when the wife of Robert Guarente, another person of interest in the theft, told agents that before his death in 2004, he gave two of the stolen paintings to Gentile.
Gentile's lawyer, a Ryan McGaughan, I don't know how to pronounce that name.
I don't either. Okay. McGaughan, maybe?
Says
I don't
his
know.
His client never had the art, but may have tried to con art collectors into thinking that he did to try to scam them out of money. It was thought he might choose to use the art if he knew its whereabouts as a bargaining chip. When he was being held by federal agents with a long list of gun-related charges. However, he never did. Although, in 2015...
It's Gentile.
Was recorded telling an undercover FBI agent that he had access to two of the stolen paintings and was able to sell them for $500,000 apiece. In May 2016, authorities returned to Robert Gentile's home for a third time and were digging around the property. Possibly in an effort to recover information about the decades-old art theft, but nothing was found. In October 2016, authorities made a final plea to Gentile, who was in a hospital near death in South Carolina, to give them any info he might have about the art in a deathbed confession. McGaughan said he rushed to a South Carolina hospital where Gentile is near death Friday and told him if at any time there was a critical moment to give up an old secret for the possibility of seeing your loved ones one more time, this was it. He suggested authorities would probably let Gentile die at home in Manchester, Connecticut, surrounded by his family if he gave up the artwork. However, McGaughan said a teary-eyed Gentile responded, but there's no paintings.
So, did you just laugh, Acadia? Wow. Harsh.
I did too.
You both did. So the guy's like half dead in South Carolina. He's being held by the federal authorities with all these gun charges. And his lawyer goes down and is like, listen, buddy, do you want to die at home instead of in the hospital in South Carolina? Just tell them if you know where the paintings are. And he says, there's no paintings.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think, Acadia? What's your theory?
Well, I want to know where why they went to Connecticut and the Philly area.
They didn't tell. There's, as far as I know, they haven't revealed a lot of details about that. It's they're still keeping some stuff quiet. Like they're not saying exactly why. Like they didn't explain every part of the investigation. You know what I mean?
Right.
We just know that. We believe that it's been through Connecticut and in Philadelphia, but they don't say, because we talked to John Smith and he told us that he saw this and that. You know what I mean? They're not.
Well, yeah.
Putting all their cards on the table.
Right. So do you think, did your research indicate
or did you get the feeling that they're like actively working the case? One of those, the leads are all dried up and whatever?
Well, I get the feeling they still kind of are. I mean, in 2016, they were digging around in the guy's yard, right? Like, that was not even a year ago. May 2016, they were digging around looking for something. So, yeah, I think the thing is, I think they're still actively working on it, and every so often something pops up. I mean, who knows? They got information from wiretaps. Maybe they're constantly listening to various people's phone calls. They hear some mention of something and they're like, oh, new evidence. And they go and they do something, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I assume kinds of like informants and they're tapping all kinds of people's phone. I mean, if it's organized crime, who knows who they're listening to and what they might hear, you know?
Yeah. Oh, true.
I don't know. I don't buy the organized crime angle.
Well, what's your theory then?
Like I said in the beginning, I think that
You think it's a private art collector who's just sitting there looking at the art?
I think it was a shopping list. I think that.
Do you think that the guy who hired the burglars was pissed that they were smashing it on the floor and hacking it up with box cutters? Because I would be. I'd be like, you guys suck at art stealing.
Well, yeah, that's why they've never caught him. Maybe the guy killed him.
The guy killed him right away.
You know what I mean? Like, I think stealing art or doing anything to art in general is just like the lowest of the low.
Oh yeah, I agree.
Like as a fucking species, like that's what we have. Like right. There are certain like huge, like the Hoover Dam and the Great Wall of China and shit like that. There's right. stuff that people can do that you just go, holy crap, I can't believe they did that. But then right. the fucking concentrated talent of these people I'm not talking about, like, I'm sure that Jackson Pollock is a fine artist. I don't understand why splatter is his art, but you right. probably do, Jen, but whatever. Right. I just don't, like, the fact that, like, all those paintings, like, they just don't, nobody makes those kinds of paintings anymore. Like, or if they do, right. they're not good at it because, like, you would think that...
Well, they don't get the same kind of attention. I mean, yeah, people do paint like that now, but...
My people taking Jesus off a cross looks better than that guy's, so why am I... Like, they just don't do that anymore.
So and, I want... Go ahead.
So it feels to me like the list of stuff was so random... That mm-hmm. it was either two people that knew absolutely fucking nothing and literally just got the idea because they overheard, you know, one of the guards saying to the other guard, boy, I wish it wasn't just us two working here all night, every night, all alone, and we don't have guns. Herp. Like, or there was some guy that appreciated art to the point where he said, no, you know, I want to have this hanging on my yacht and this and whatever and blah, blah, blah. And even if it is the kind of thing where, you know, because if you're fancy enough to want that kind of shit in your house, then your friends are probably fancy enough to recognize it. So right. I doubt like hell.
It would be tough to keep it quiet, that, right? That's the thing.
Yeah, it's a shitty little thing to have, I'm going to go in my art closet and look at my fancy, you know.
Right, you can't like display it.
Yeah, the whole it's just a fucking shit.
So I watched
this idea that you have to go and ask, like, what? Whitey fucking Bulger was fucking coked out half the time anyway, and all he did was fucking brutalize people. I don't think he could have strung it all together enough to say, "Oh yeah, someone's coming to town to steal some art. Well, they better come see me because I'm busy beating up this guy over some lottery tickets." Like, it doesn't.
Well, we're also talking about the Italian mafia too,
right? Are you specifically just saying only Whitey Bulger? No, was I'm too just saying in trashy? General
that I get like organized crime was very because I mean I went to college right next to where like there were free John Gotti signs all the fuck over Little Italy in the Bronx right next right. to where I went to college. So right. I get how and I actually bartended in the scariest fucking bar on Sunday nights and no students came in and it was just this guy's buddies. And I swear to God, one of them was Joe Pesci from Goodfellas. And I was convinced that that's how I would die. Like they were fucking terrified.
So I get how real it is. I just don't buy the. That just seems like such a movie trope. Like, oh, I just heard that, you know, Johnny Sticks got to town. We better tell him that he better give us whatever before he tries to rob that. They wouldn't fucking know. No one's going to know if you're going to rob some museum because you're a fucking mobster and you don't care about museums.
Yeah, but I didn't think it was like someone asked his permission. I thought it was like, if you want to get something done in Boston, you talk to Whitey Bulger or whoever, some like criminal guy. You don't just like walk into the city and like, hi, I'm Joe. I'm going to start stealing stuff. You'd be like, hey, let me talk to the local.
You use union men to steal around here.
I mean, right?
Okay. No, I mean, it's just those guys didn't seem like, I mean, what did they really have to do?
Well, I actually
I actually
have a funny story since we jokingly said, you know, you got to talk to me if you want to steal things. So my father, before in between being in the Army and working as a civilian for the Navy, actually owned his own restaurants in New Jersey. And this one day he's behind the bar and this guy walks in and says, you know, we're so-and-so and we're here to do your laundry. My dad says, no, we already have, you know, such and such a company doing our laundry. The guy says, not anymore, you don't. What are you talking about? You know, we hired so-and-so to do our laundry and that's who's going to do our laundry. And the guy looks at my dad and says, is that your Corvette outside? My dad said, sure.
No.
It wasn't my dad's Corvette, but it did disappear. Nice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. My dad has quite a few stories about the mafia in New Jersey.
My peeps in New Jersey.
Including he got out of a few things because of them.
Oh, my God.
Too.
So just quickly, I'm Italian, but my family is from Connecticut, not New Jersey. My mom's family, which is not my Italian side, is from New Jersey. And apparently, when my cousins were little kids, they used to come home from school crying, I wish I was Italian, because everybody in their school was. Oh, God. Okay. Anyway.
Other than during ancient Rome, that's the only time that's ever been said.
Right? I know.
Oh, my God. It's probably true. Too funny. Oh.
Okay, so in like my research for this, I watched this CBS report about it from like 2015, and the woman who was the director of the museum, I stupidly didn't write her name down. Sorry, woman. I'll put it in the post. In 2015, she was still there as the director, and she was there when the robbery happened. And she was like, "I just really hope that the pieces come back. I'd like to see," like, she's just like so heartbroken about them.
Right.
And like, especially the Vermeer piece, the concert, there's only like 36 Vermeer paintings in the whole world.
Oh my gosh.
It's like a really big deal. And it's like a super famous painting and it's like a very important piece. And she's just like, you know, with the woman doing the interview was like, oh, you know, are there paintings that you're especially like concerned about or whatever? And she's like, well, the Rembrandt one, the Sea of Galilee or whatever, is like important because it's the only seascape that Rembrandt's painted. And she's like, you know, it's very like important for that reason, but really for me it's the Vermeer. Like, I just would really love to see it come back, and I just like wanted to give her a hug. She's like so sad, you know. Aww. And it's like what Acadia was saying about like, it's so mean to steal art. It's like the whole point of art is just like to be beautiful and make people happy or make people like have feelings and look at beautiful things, and it's like you're just fucking stealing it. Like, that's so shitty.
Well, you know? I'd like to go on the record and say it's pretty shitty to steal anything.
Well, yeah, of course it is. But I mean, I think it's more shitty to steal a beautiful painting than to steal like my coat, you know.
Right.
Like, so it's just like, anyway, it was sad. I felt sorry for her. She retired in 2015, so I'm sure she was like hoping it would be back before then.
Oh my God, right?
Oh, God damn it. All right, so back to the story. So our buddy Robert Gentile apparently ended up surviving his near-death experience and was put through a mental exam in December of 2016. which was, you know, only like a month and a half ago, to see whether he was fit to stand trial on the gun charges. He remains the only person of interest in the case. However, dun dun dun, there's an interesting tidbit that I haven't told you yet. One of the pieces, Chez Tortoni by Manet, was in a room that the motion detectors in the museum showed no activity in during the period of the robbery. The only movement in that room the night of the theft was the guard, Richard Abbeth, during his shift and before the intruders arrived. He has always maintained his innocence and refuses to talk to reporters about it. He currently lives in, I forgot, either New Hampshire or Vermont. Even if he was implicated, authorities say the statute of limitations has expired. At this point, the museum and the authorities just want the works of art back. So, what, there's like, you know, they have motion detectors all over the museum, and they log all the activity. And so, like, they knew how long the thieves spent in, like, each room, like, pulling the art down and, like, smashing things and what they did and stuff.
But right.
There was no motion during the robbery in that room.
What the fuck? What the fuck were they connected to then? Like...
What do you mean, what were they connected to?
It's 1990. If you have
motion detectors in your museum...
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. Why weren't they, like, setting off alarms?
Yeah, right. Like...
yeah.
They just... It's like those commercials now. Oh, we just detect things. We don't...
Well, yeah, kind of.
There was... They had 24-hour security. That's why the alarms didn't go off. So they constantly walked the halls.
Right. So what they were saying... It was more like just a logging thing to just show where there was activity. They did say that one of the first pieces that they pulled down set off some kind of local alarm, but they smashed it. It was, like, physically right there, and they just smashed it, and it turned off.
Oh my God.
It wasn't the greatest security.
It was a cuckoo clock.
It was just like, exactly. It was just like,
It'll pull this string. Then the pool ball will wind down this thing and set off the cuckoo clock.
It's a Rube Goldberg machine alarm, yes. Also the frame for that piece was found on the guard desk, whereas everything else was found, like, in the room where it was stolen from. So,
Figured he's like, yeah, they already got robbed. I'm just going to take this one home for the wife.
It's from before. He was in the room beforehand, before the robbery happened.
Oh.
And then when the robbery was over, he was tied up in the basement with the other guard. So, I don't know. Like, it's not, nobody knows, but it seems suspicious to me.
You always see an inside guy.
Right? Like, he's the one who let him in. I don't know. Seems shady to me.
I think I have a new theory now.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right. Well, so...
Good. Tell us so I can crush it with facts.
Hold on. Let me read my last little bit here. So sure. The theft is commonly referred to, like, by the general public as the most successful art heist of all time. But as Agent Kelly points out, nobody has profited from this theft. So while it might seem impressive that they haven't been caught in almost 27 years, they also haven't made any money off the missing pieces.
How the fuck does he know?
Because, oh, Jesus. What? Well, apparently the FBI doesn't know anything, but Acadia does.
No. Explain to me how he knows. Where the fuck were they going to... Were they going to fucking sell it on eBay? Like, how the fuck does he possibly know that nobody has profited?
Probably the same way that someone's listening to this right now. I mean, because everything's creepy. That's why they know. Like, you don't think that they would know if... these crazy important art pieces were being moved around somewhere that you don't think they'd hear something about it in 27 years? Not a peep? Like, you think that somebody successfully sold all 13 of these things and nobody's heard a word about it ever? Like, we were just saying, you can't, even if you're like a collector and you want to look at these, you have to look at them in your art closet. You can't put them somewhere. Somebody's going to see them. You're going to get busted.
It's like a super famous
case. I mean, you could, but I'm just...
Okay, so I think that, yes, people have them. I think that, yes, they've been sold, traded, given away, blah, 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 for various different reasons. I think that the mafia was involved. And I have some more information that was not included in our story here.
Oh, exciting.
All right. So here we go. So obviously this guy that we've been talking about has been the number one suspect. Yeah. And it's basically because he has a big mouth. So he's been recorded as saying, you know, oh, I have them and da-da-da-da, whatever. And so here we have recently, they have a recent recording, okay, because now he is actually in Connecticut. He's living in Connecticut right now.
Okay.
And so there's a recent recording where he took a trip to Boston, or took a trip to Philadelphia, and he was bragging about having some paintings.
Oh, Jesus.
And then the widow of a Boston mobster told the FBI that she was with her husband in Portland, Maine, in the parking lot of a lobster house sometime between 2002 and 2004. And her husband put several of the stolen pieces in the trunk in Mr. Gentile's car.
Oh yeah, so that was the woman. That was the woman we talked about before, but this is way more details about it.
Yeah,
yeah. Acadia, once again, Portland, Maine, center of all weirdness in New England.
Right, and if I had a mic, I would drop it.
I'll make a mic dropping sound.
Okay.
just if you do that, just don't pick it back up.
Go fuck yourself.
So, one. Regarding the fucking so confident Agent Kelly.
By the way, he doesn't have a Boston accent, by the way, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, he does in my version of the story. I don't see, if he does not know who the robbers were and he does not know where the paintings are. Then I think his saying that nobody profited off of it, the dummy robbers could have sold it for lap dances that night, and he wouldn't have fucking known if the crackhead strippers then sold it to some deal. Like, there's just no basis for saying that at all.
Well,
so push that to the side. But now I have a new theory.
Okay, lay it on us, man.
So obviously there was somebody in charge of the museum.
Yeah, the woman I talked about. Do you mean in charge of the security or in charge of the museum?
No, the whole place.
Right, the director.
Yeah. What if, and I have no evidence for this whatsoever, but since we have to come up with a motive. Are you going to accuse her? What if?
Oh, Jesus. I reject this theory already. Go ahead.
What if there was something going on with the director that the art was stolen as some type of fucking message to that guy, or
her name was Anne Hawley.
I was like, what was his name?
No, it's a woman. I told you like four times now that it was a woman. Her name is Anne Hawley, Hawley.
Oh, I didn't realize she was the... I thought she was, like, the curator. I don't know
what the fucking... She's the director. She was the director of the museum. Director.
All right. Well, what if she was getting... gambling habit or some shit like that, and all of a sudden the people...
A heroin habit? All right.
We're like, listen, you better pay up. And she'd be like, well, no, what are you going to do about it? And they were like, we'll go steal some of your patents. But they were fucking knuckleheads, and that's why... They were so shitty with everything because they were literally like, yeah, well, we're going to go fucking fuck up some of her paintings. We'll show her. We're going to get our $1,800. Like,
I think it's more likely that they had a bar fight with Richard Abbath the day before than that the director of a museum who was the director for like 30 years had a secret heroin habit and was friends with, and was friends with a bunch of hooligans. That doesn't seem right.
Maybe she was a whore.
Maybe she was a whore like your Nana. I don't think so. She seemed like a nice lady.
But my Nana.
I mean, maybe she was reading romance novels to 5-year-olds. I don't know. You don't know all these people. Who knows?
It was 1990.
Oh my god. Oh my gosh, I'm crying.
Well, that's quite the interesting case there about the famous paintings that have never been found.
Yeah.
I wonder if Trump will fire that Kelly guy, because I kind of think he should.
Oh, stop it.
I don't like him.
You don't like him?
I don't like him, and I don't like his attitude.
Oh, jeez, Louise. You're really something, Acadia.
I think that he should be a little more humble, considering that he is not solved shit.
Hoo-ah! They just do it, okay? Just do it, you goddamn bitch! Oh, you bitch! Stop busting everything! Oh, that goddamn bitch! Oh, that goddamn bitch!
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I have a problem with Mr. Kelly, but you're entitled to your opinion, I suppose.
Well, I do have a problem with Mr. Kelly, and I want to know just what the director of the museum, Miss Hawley, was into.
Oh, Jesus. I don't think she was into anything except directing the museum.
Yeah, well, directing it right into the shitter. Although,
oh my God.
Kudos to her for getting people to pay money to see an empty picture frame. Maybe I can make a museum like that.
There's like 1,000 pieces there. There's 13 that are missing.
Yeah, well.
People
money to see them.
Oh, Jesus. I'll put pictures in the post, either at strangefulthings.com or at superficialgallery.com, whichever you think is better. I took a million pictures there with BNEV, so.
Definitely in Strangeful Things, please.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That would be ideal because.
Yes.
Strangeful Things is.
Oh, yeah. You're going to tell us something.
Pretty spiffy lately.
Yeah, it is.
You agree?
Yep.
And
very cool.
I'm actually going to. We have a forum now. Because we have superficialgallery.com and strangefulthings.com, and we wear a lot of hats and we have a lot of stuff going on, we're trying to maintain our social media presence across all those things. And honestly, it's not working out super great right at the mo. So, in an effort to try and consolidate people that are interested in talking about some of this stuff, we do have a forum off of the gallery now, batcave.superficialgallery.com, and there is going to be a Strangeful Things section, so that if people want to suggest, you know, topics or talk about any of the cases or anything that we talk about, they're more than welcome to do so. Trying to keep all the Facebook groups and everything spinning at the same time. Is tough. So maybe if we have it all in one spot, we're going to be more responsive to folks. So that's the plan. What do you think?
Sounds good.
All right.
All right.
Sweet. All right, kids. Well, we did not solve the mystery, except Acadia
thinks. I'm not telling you guys where, because now I got $500 million worth of paintings that I can go get.
Yeah, that's what you think.
Because you know
only
where
get
they
a $5 million reward.
You're going to end up buried in the woods somewhere.
That's
I'm going to have to build a freaking sand castle on your head or something to cover it up.
What?
That's strange.
That made very little sense. That made very little sense.
You're just emptying the whole fucking every bullet you got on that one, huh?
Oh no, I've got literally like 75 sounds in here. You don't want me to play them all.
Boy.
Oh boy.
All right then.
All right. Well, good work, friends.
Please continue to support us if you can. Giving us 5-star reviews and some kind words on iTunes helps us a lot, because it'll get us noticed by more people. But we obviously want the reviews to be honest.
Positive.
So if you want to give us 5 stars and tell us that we stink, that's fine. Just as long as you do the 5-star part. And right. I guess that's it.
All right. Bye then, everyone.
Yeah.
Next week we're gonna have a request.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, I know. And
Well, don't say what it is.
Well, it said something to do with mythical creatures would be cool, or unexplained deaths.
All right.
Well, so, I think we should definitely delve into mythical creatures because we've only done unexplained deaths.
We've only done Sasquatch, so we need another mythical creature.
All right.
Or I'm going to try and find a death that can be explained by a mythical creature.
Ooh. Wow.
Like unicorn stampede.
Well, obviously. That's what I was thinking of right away.
Would a mythical creature include the devil?
I think so.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Yes, technically, yeah.
Well.
Just wondering.
All right. Well, till next week then, kids.
Yeah. Oh, Dad, and then, you want to
give us any more
what?
Suggestions. Yep.
And don't forget to tell everybody to check out Jen's story on Superficial Gallery.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, because you know, I don't know if all of our listeners
Strangeful
here
things.
Check that page out.
That's
but,
true. Superficialgallery.com.
We've got some really good political stuff on there. So,
yep.
Jen's got a great article that's been making become viral. Can we say that?
Sure we can.
Yeah, I suppose.
Okay.
Sweet.
Yeah, so that's happening.
Yeah, so go read that, and then I gotta go hit the books and find out about any people murdered by unicorns.
Yes, exactly. Yes. All right, folks. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.